CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
And this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and of course, we're in the time of the coronavirus and all the questions and anxieties and politics that necessarily involves. And we've been stressing, and are going to continue to do it, that in order to fight the virus, we have to have international cooperation. We have to have mutual respect amongst peoples and states, and understand that this is a fight with a force, a virus which threatens everybody on the planet, in the sense that it is deadly, and there is no, at this time, antidote in order to cope with it. And it's on the Taylor Report, we have said before, and we're going to say again, one of the jobs that falls to us and should be, we should call on the Canadian government to take the lead in ending the illegal extraterritorial sanctions of the put down by the United States against Venezuela, Iran, Zimbabwe, North Korea, Syria, most particularly because Syria is in a war that where they are fighting foreign financed mercenaries disguised as jihadists who are really directed by Washington and London and Paris. These are criminal wars. That is a criminal war. There have been others. It's a habit of the United States to do this. They have not given up on regime change anywhere in the world where they find a government that doesn't follow their dictate. So it's very important that we end the sanctions and that we insist on a peaceful world and one in which international law is upheld, the United Nations is upheld. The United Nations is a product of a war against fascism, and it was established to respect the rights of people to self-determination, to respect the sovereignty of states, large and small, and to insist on a peaceful resolution of differences. That is how it was designed. But we have a problem that has to be identified and that called out, and that is that the U.S. Regards itself as an exceptional power, as the enforcer, they say sometimes the policeman of the world. This is a self-designated position. What's the saying? Self-praise is no recommendation. That's what we're faced with. And this is at a time we're trying to cope with and deal with and overcome COVID-19, which the U.S. has leaders use racial terms to describe this disease, which is threatening everyone. So that said, we'll come back to that point because that has to be what guides us everywhere. And I have a quote. Not long ago, I quoted, we were trying to use poems instead of music, because I'm producing from home, so I can't do the music part, but I can read interesting items from literature that might help. But I came across one that might set the tone of our discussion. This is, again, the Taylor Report. And in a novel by John Dispassus, 42nd Parallel, He quotes it exactly right. A United States Senator, his name was Albert J. Beveridge, and Beveridge was talking at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th, his vision for the 20th century. Here's what it says. In responding to the toast, the 20th century, Senator Albert J. Beveridge said in part, the 20th century will be American. American thought will dominate. American progress will give it color and direction. American deeds will make it, American deeds will make it illustrious. 20th century would be illustrious with American deeds. Civilization will never lose its hold in Shanghai. Civilization will never depart from Hong Kong. The gates of Peking will never again be closed to the methods of modern man. The regeneration of the world, physical as well as moral, has begun, and revolutions never will, never move backward. That's the United States Senator, close friend and admirer of Teddy Roosevelt, and one of the people who launched the idea of the need for American imperialism in the name of Christianity and civilization. So we say, wow, that was terrible. That was ignorant, that was racist, etc. Well, of course, now we have Donald Trump, and we also have Obama. Here's the quote from Obama, never forget it. We're going to pivot, he said, towards China. We're going to pivot into the Pacific. What he meant was, we've been beating up on the Russians, and now we're going to go beat up on the Chinese. We're going to really tell them where to get off, etc. Move the fleets, that kind of thing. By the way, they said in part of the Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt doctrine, and that of Senator Beveridge, and those who believed that the 20th century belonged to the Americans, that the Pacific is an American ocean. Beveridge also said he said, we've annexed the Philippines and we'll never give it back because we have a very important responsibility. He pointed out that the Filipinos people were not white, and they, of course, he said, they can be educated, they can be trained, but it's going to take a long time. Which is, that, by the way, that idea, my whole point in talking about this, is that it's continued on. It's with us now. In the case of Donald Trump, in the case of Obama, and more pertinently, Joe Biden. Because we're talking about the coronavirus and what to do about the fact that America, which was told in January of this year by the World Health Organization that there was this virus, that it was a danger, and that because of the decision by the Chinese government, after consulting, by the way, the World Health Organization, that they needed to close down a city of 11 million people in order to contain the virus and protect humanity. That was in January 2020. And so where are we now? This is now, we've now passed through Bloody March and we're into April. And the Americans have 50,000 dead from coronavirus. China has a population of 1.4 billion. 1.4 billion. They went to battle with using all their medical skills and expertise. They went to battle with the coronavirus. And they did it the way you're supposed to do if you love your people. And it's called the People's Republic of China. If you really are devoted to them, that means you protect them. And so they did something which is very tough to do. A major city, Wuhan, had to be basically closed down. And they went through a process. They decided not to mitigate, the word we have now, mitigate, you know, the coronavirus. They had the idea of containing and breaking the chain of transmission so as to protect the 1.4 billion people of China and the rest of humanity, who could join in and share in what is learned and make it a worldwide battle if necessary. Everybody cooperating together, putting aside the matters of war and jet fighter planes and aircraft carriers and Marines and all that, but instead bringing together all the medical talent of the world, all the scientists, to fight this battle against the coronavirus. So so what happened? They held it down to less than five, you could quibble if you like, 5,000 Chinese died. Approximately 90,000 had the virus. And city of Wuhan today, after 2.5 months, they were able to lift the lockdown. And the city now is again functioning. No, not the way it was, the way it has to function in the face of the fact that the pandemic is not, the Chinese are not chauvinistic, xenophobic, as Trump is when Trump says, hey, we look after ourselves, we don't care about other people. We don't even know, he can't pronounce the names of other people, he doesn't care. Now the Chinese say, we understand, look, as long as this thing is with us, it's a common fight. They don't want it back. They know their biggest issue is actually that the coronavirus, COVID-19, is entering the country from abroad. They have a problem at the Russian border, and of course they have a problem with returning Chinese nationals who are, of course, coming back to the country. And so they have to be very careful. And they and we are going to have to be careful throughout this period. So that's what they have done. In January, a decision was made to close Wuhan. Now Wuhan is open again. Wuhan is working. So the U.S., by the way, when they were told that China had this problem, they withdrew. They sent a plane. Trump likes to talk about it. You know, planes. He ended the transfer, Chinese air coming to the U.S. That was one of his big decisions. Well, one of his big decisions was to send in a plane, picked up their people in Wuhan in January. How smart was that? What kind of process did they go through when they brought them back? Did he think that Americans were invulnerable? Had he been reading the speeches of Beveridge or learning songs from Teddy Roosevelt or something? Anyhow, so January went by in February, and at the beginning of March, there were no cases, or maybe, as Trump said, a handful. He said, no problem, beginning of March. So now it's April, and there are 50,000 dead Americans. Which brings us to our problem again. Instead of saying, obviously we need cooperation, we need to be respectful. China doesn't share America's view of how to talk about the world. They say, we want to cooperate with you. We are not, you say you're number one, and we say we're not interested in these kind of games. We don't believe there should be a number one. That is a position, whether our listeners know that or not, or like it or not, that is the position of the Chinese government. The U.S. is not shy about saying it is number one and the world will do as they say. That is a different position. That is a position that violates the Charter of the United Nations. That's a position which you could say violates common sense. Rationality. It's some kind of religion. It's some sort of racial idea. It's extremely dangerous. So we need cooperation, but instead, because of this embarrassing and ugly situation, where we're seeing two systems And I'm not trying to heighten the problem, but it's got to be recognized that the People's Republic of China was founded on the idea that they were going to serve the people, and it was a people's government. The United States has the idea that it's a capitalistic system, and everybody can scramble as they like, and the ones who have the most and can hang on to it, that's their business. And the people who run the political scene have their ears tuned to the wishes of the wealthy. That's just the way it is. And so when the poor have problems, well, maybe something is done, but probably not. And therefore, you have 50,000 debt and climbing. There is no public health system because private enterprise will take care of that. And if some people die, that's their tough luck. So how does the United States leadership explain the problem? Well, they say China's the problem. They didn't warn us. This is ridiculous. They didn't warn us. Well, they knew in January. That sounds like warning enough, doesn't it? For the richest, most developed, number one country in the world. Isn't that enough warning for you? Were you ready? I have a quote here that I can't resist sharing. Trump likes to get in front of a map. Not a map, pardon me. He got in front of it the other day. As you know, he does a public show every morning. As somebody pointed out, he's actually starting to lose followers because, you know, you see a guy every day of the week and you kind of remember what he said two or three days ago. It's not a good idea to continually talk if he's not going to produce any results and continue to dominate the podium. But anyway, he was on the podium. He had his doctor friend there. And unfortunately, he was very unhappy because they showed how many deaths, what percentage of the population in the various countries. And the United States was about, at that time, was in the middle of the number of people lost. Now they're number one. But at that time, roughly in the middle. And of course, among the countries with the fewest loss of life was China. So he couldn't help but interrupt his medical colleague and walk over, point at the number and said, "Can you believe that? Who could believe that?" Well, I could believe it. And I know this is why he's having a problem and why he's moving the attack from China on to the World Health Organization. The United States is a member of the World Health Organization. It gives the most money, but they're not getting the results they think they bought. They think that they paid for the darn things, therefore it ought to say what they, when they squeeze it, it ought to say what they want. But the World Health Organization went into Wuhan at the invitation of China. The United States has not invited the World Health Organization to come visit the United States. By the way, I'm open to contradiction if somebody thinks it has. Please show me. But they were asked from the Chinese Foreign Ministry. The spokesperson said, why hasn't Washington invited the World Health Organization? Of course, I mean, we're way down the road from that ever happening. But at any rate, no, actual qualified medical professionals from the United States were part of the World Health Organization. They were part of the trip to Wuhan. But you see, America wanted a separate trip. They said, well, we want it. We want to go there. And because the data and the reports from the World Health Organization are not flattering to the U.S. And they're angry because the World Health Organization thanked China for inviting them and for also sharing what information they had. And so now the U.S. has had to put, turn its sights, its attacking sights, its destructive policy toward the World Health Organization. And this is where Canadians have a big part to play. And at the moment, the Prime Minister is kind of straddling because he knows he's looking into the eyeballs of one of the craziest leaders the U.S. has ever produced. Believe me, they produced several. This ain't the only one. But Canada's position becomes that wormy, either maybe and perhaps position. It's kind of going all the way back to Prime Minister King, who said, well, you know, we'll have a draft if necessary, but not necessarily a draft for soldiers in World War II. And there's always maybe and perhaps. So that's their position. Although Canada is among the countries that is defending the World Health Organization and is saying, this is a wormy language, they say, well, when Trump says these things, these accusations, we have to stay together, and we can talk about that another time, and agreeing that there should probably be an investigation. Actually, that shows again that the cold winds of Washington are blowing through the land, because other countries are simply saying, World Health Organization is necessary, we cooperate with it, let's go forward. Let's do this together. But all those who are lined up with Washington know that they better do what Washington says, or at least use language that enables Washington. Of course, the Conservative Party of Canada wants to bring back Harper and cut off relations with the rest of the world and simply hug America and Britain to death, to kiss up to them and rub their heads and roll at their feet, see what they can do for them, run errands. And so they already, in the Canadian Parliament, if you can believe it, they want to call in a Canadian doctor, of whom we should all be very proud, Dr. Aylward, who simply went to Wuhan, watched what they were doing as they confronted a deadly virus and what they were doing to fight it, and he made it an objective assessment. He, by the way, is professionally trained and knows what he's talking about. Everybody in the Harper camp and the Conservative Party are only out to spill political blood at anybody's expense, so long as they have harmed China and hugged the Americans. That's really the game. And the Globe and Mail, every third day, maybe every second day, knows that it has to publish an article denigrating whatever China is doing, because they are scared to death of the success of China and its obvious reputation around the world, one that Canada doesn't have, and the U.S. had long since lost, and Europe lost, when they denied help to each other, acted like a bunch of thieves falling out. China was the one that went to Italy and said, here, Italy, we help you. Please, we've been sending doctors, we send you medicine. This is what we want to do. The Canadian Conservatives and even the Liberals are uncomfortable. They don't want to be talking that way, because that means, as the Italians responded, thank you, thank you, thank you. Look, this is poison from the point of view of the old beverage Teddy Roosevelt British imperial doctrine. We're the bosses. You cannot praise China. You can't say they're helping you. That's denigrating. Good gosh, they're not white people. This is ridiculous. This is a position. The Canadian Parliament, the Conservatives, want to call Mr. Aylward on the carpet, and the Globe is writing the article about it, and find out why he would go to Wuhan and make a positive report. The positive report consisting of the following points. Well, they're fighting to contain it. They're identifying the source of the coronavirus. They're isolating individuals who have it so as to protect other members of the community and their families from getting the virus. They're building hospitals, and they are aggressively bringing in medical people from all over China to to contain and defeat the virus. That's Dr. Aylward. I would take my hat off to him. I don't want to get him in trouble. He's like Bethune. And he's just helping. He's just a doctor. And he's saying, what's so? Well, they want to call him on the carpet. They want to bring him in. And they told the Globe, they said, the conservative spokesperson said, we demanded he come. And we used sharp language. Because Dr. Aylward is working with the World Health Organization. And of course they think, oh good, we can create a problem. We take one member of it, we bring him here, we grill him, and we try to show up the World Health Organization if we can, because we want to be part of the American effort to destroy the World Health Organization. That would be our little contribution. And of course we want to pick a fight with China if we can, because we all know that Canada would prevail, right? I don't know what these guys are, what they've been smoking, as they say. But the language of the Globe, they say that one of the things, and this is the Globe, by the way, says they want to know is why Dr. Aylward didn't condemn, the word in the Globe and Mail, in their article, Ottawa sees critical need for World Health Organization review by Stephen Chase, April 21st. They want to know why he didn't denounce the Chinese government for suppressing whistleblowers. Well, there's a very simple answer to that. World Health Organization isn't in the denouncing business. Maybe the Globe is. But they use the word denounce. So Chase is a crummy hack to use such language, because he knows better. No way in the world does a World Health Organization denounce people, particularly members. The member state is cooperating. The way they would handle that, if they thought and if they think in the future that something was not done, could have been done, they will say, World Health Organization recommends this and this. We recommend transparency. In one instance, we see this, and blah, blah. They do it the way you're supposed to. They're not there as part of NATO. World Health Organization is there with it for the member states. So, but the Globe wants to know why Dr. Aylward didn't denounce, because he's not in the denouncing business. They had another little game they played with him. They said, he hung up on a Hong Kong newspaper or journal that called him up. And in their questioning of him, of what he thought about the World Health Organization Chinese efforts, they raised the issue of Taiwan's position. And he did not answer, and ended the call. Let me help the Globe out and the Conservative Party, though that is a bootless errand, but I will do it. Taiwan is part of China. Richard Nixon and Pierre Trudeau, centuries ago, when there were wolves and whales, as they say, centuries ago, agreed to abandon the policy of trying to hold on to the island of Taiwan and call it the Republic of China and give it a seat in the United Nations. They gave up on that because they had a game they were playing with the Russians, and so they decided they were going to go with recognition of China. Although, I have to say, the seating of the United Nations, the ceding of China was led by the African states and new independent states, get the story straight. But the fact is that was agreed to by everybody. So Taiwan, which calls itself an official name, the Republic of China, because those who named it Republic of China mean that they represent the 1.4 billion people, So in other words, they're claimants, pretenders to being China. They and the Americans are always playing whenever they can a game to see if they can put new pressure on China. This is called Obama's pivot. This is, see if we can find a way to poke them, cause a problem, as they did with Hong Kong. They're always playing a little game there. Both Taiwan and Hong Kong are part of China, one China. So the Globe doesn't explain. They say, oh, he didn't want to get into, he didn't deal with this issue because they say China claims Taiwan. Well, so does Canada claim that it is, there is one China and Taiwan is part of China. That's Canada claims that. It's true that Taiwan is under an independent government and China tolerates that situation and they are working with great patience. They, after all, are civilizations many thousands of years old and they understand that questions of this type might take a long time. So it's like a friend of mine was once in a Chinese museum and he said he was looking at one thing or another and he saw a sign and the sign said the pieces from this portion of an art museum that belong here are presently in a British museum. They will be returned at the appropriate time. So that's how they see it. At any rate, so we have sabotage going on, sabotage of world peace. We have sabotage of international relations being carried out by, led by the United States, who now want to pick a fight with the World Health Organization. And there are some in Ottawa, and believe me, at the end of the day, Ottawa is going to do what Washington wants to do, even though right now they say they want the World Health Organization. If it comes to that, the U.S. makes enough trouble, they are going to jump on the bandwagon and see how much trouble they can make. At a time when China and South Korea and Vietnam and Italy and Serbia and Russia and Cuba and Venezuela and most of the African states and some in other states, even in West Europe, and actually the majority of Western states in Europe are upholding the need for the World Health Organization. But because Trump's embarrassed, he doesn't, I mean, 50,000 Americans, he says he, this is not a big deal because he said he saved, it could have been millions, therefore this is nothing. Well, it wouldn't have been 50,000 if he'd acted, if he had a health system. He could have followed the Irish who nationalized their hospital when they realized, and Spain also nationalized their hospitals, all of them, so that they could guarantee to the Spanish people and to the Irish that everyone would have access to advanced medical care. U.S., can you imagine? Well, no, you can imagine because I'm going to say it. The Americans should nationalize every hospital in America. They should all be taken over so that the American people can be protected. They can just walk in the door and receive treatment and then not going to get a bill. Americans live in terror of medical bills. They don't go in the hospitals if they can avoid it because a meter starts running when you walk through that door. Which brings us back again. We have to defend the World Health Organization. We have to defend the United Nations. We have to defend the need for peace and to end this bigoted, chauvinistic, imperialistic talk about China. China has a policy of reaching out. It gives me a chance to read something I have right here in front of me. This is from my Chinese Foreign Ministry, April the 21st. I wonder how many Canadians, how many people know that this exchange happened, because this is something to meditate on. A journalist asked the following question. Wuhan and Los Angeles just held a video conference this morning to discuss reopening cities and resuming work and production. Can you talk about it? And Gang Shuang says, indeed, this morning, Wuhan and Los Angeles held a video conference to discuss reopening the city and resuming work and production after the virus is effectively contained. Remember that part of this. Thorough talks between principal officials of both municipal governments and other areas lasted almost 2 hours and yielded good results. In the meantime, presidents of Wuhan University and Ohio State University also held a video conference to discuss campus management during the pandemic. Thanks to the arduous efforts, Wuhan, a heroic city, is walking out of the shadow of the epidemic. It recently lifted the lockdown for people to freely leave Wuhan and Hubei. The epidemic risk there is at a low level, and production and life is gradually brought back onto the right track. For a while, Chinese localities, including Wuhan, and medical institutions have been sharing COVID-19 experience and treatment solutions via video conference and other channels with their American counterparts upon request. They have been donating medical supplies to U.S. states, cities, institutions, and enterprises, and facilitating U.S. procurement of anti-epidemic items in China. We would like to continue sharing all our information and experience with the U.S. side and support them to the best of our capacity so that they can defeat the virus and resume normal life as soon as possible. It will also be China's contribution to the global fight against COVID-19 and to an early economic recovery. That's the Chinese foreign ministry. I guess if you're in Los Angeles, maybe the LA Times talked about it. But that's a conversation between the cities of Wuhan and Los Angeles. I don't think that's going to make President Trump very happy. I don't think he's going to talk about that. He wants to have trouble. And we should encourage this development. We actually should be talking about, why can't we have a Toronto-Wuhan meeting? That would be nice. An Ottawa-Wuhan meeting. If Ohio State University is talking to Wuhan University, how about the University of Toronto? By the way, for all I know, they are. It's the Globe and Mail and the Toronto Star might be keeping it a secret. But this is what we require, is this kind of cooperation. Now, there's another matter which I think is worth calling to the attention of our listeners, and this is the Taylor Report, and it is CIUT 89.5 FM. This is one of my favorites, actually. When Donald Trump says, hey, can you believe that? They claim that they only have 5,000 lives lost due to corona. So one of the reasons I say to him, yeah, I can believe them, actually. Not only I believe the World Health Organization, which is not Chinese, the World Health Organization is a World Health Organization. And countries like Syria and Serbia and others belong to it. Here's something that I bet Donald Trump doesn't like. Stephen Levin, a New York City council member, tweeted this. He said, he's talking about Wuhan. They have 9,000 disease detectives in Wuhan. We have 100 in New York City. 100 disease detectives in New York City. 9,000 disease detectives in Wuhan. So President Trump, listen, let me explain to you. If you do the material things, provide hospitals that belong to the people, shared by the people, access for the people with a very advanced technology, very advanced doctors, tech and medical systems, and you have 9,000 disease detectives out and around making sure that any problems are detected early, isolated, analyzed, etc. Yes, you can protect. You will save lives. Probably doesn't know that. I know he believes in the power of prayer and likes to meet on Sundays with people who can cure these things through magic. But it needs to be recognized, yeah. Like Mr. Levin says, they have 9,000 disease detectives in the one city of Wuhan. And Governor Cuomo, Mayor de Blasio, you have 100 disease detectives in one of the biggest cities in the world. And it's a port city. You know, port cities, you better look out. Port cities are dangerous because, you know, there's a lot of stuff, goods coming and going. So, yeah, I think it's very important to tell Sir Donald, yeah, that's a fact. That's why we believe them. And you might want to know why people don't believe Donald Trump. So, there's some other items here I want to get to.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
And continuing with the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. It's time, I think, to call out something very important. This is from CUPE. Title on their statement is, GM Oshawa plant will now produce millions of masks following worker mobilization. And that's from CUPE Ontario. And that was released, a press release, April 24. The Federal Minister of Innovation, Science and Industry announced that the government signed a letter of intent with General Motors to reopen the Oshawa assembly plant in order to produce 1 million masks a month for essential workers, something CUPE Ontario has advocated and organized for. Our local community is incredibly proud to have been able to organize around ensuring real action from government, said Tiffany Balducci, fourth vice president of CUPE Ontario and one of the lead organizers of Green Jobs Oshawa, which is a coalition including former General Motors and supplier workers. And by the way, Tiffany has been a guest on the Taylor Report, we're proud to say, on this issue. Further, she says, we mobilized our community through a petition and public events, and it goes to show that collective action works. This unprecedented victory is now an opportunity to push the Ford Conservatives to also retool private companies to produce what Ontarians need. CUPE Ontario's 280,000 members have joined others in feelings of frustration over the dangerous shortage of necessary medical equipment to treat patients and to protect the health of frontline workers, both in the healthcare and in other sectors. And while some companies have stepped forward to assist in making ventilators and masks, the province is still experiencing a severe shortage. Opening up the 10 million square foot GM Oshawa complex to produce personal protection equipment is a wonderful development, according to CUPE Ontario. The Ford Conservatives need to learn from this example and order the private sector to ramp up production of these supplies, to retool factories, if necessary, said Fred Hahn, president of CUPE Ontario, highlighting feeder plants and other manufacturing facilities across the province. They had no problem unilaterally issuing orders that override the freely negotiated collective agreements of frontline workers. They now need to use their power to order the immediate production of PPE for everyone who needs it. While there's still more to do, like determining if the laid-off GM workers will be recalled to do this work, and making sure Ontario takes similar action, today is a big step forward, said Candace Rennick, CUPE Ontario Secretary Treasurer. We're applauding the organizing of our communities and of our healthcare sector, which took a lead in this campaign, and we're looking forward to more cooperation and collaboration to find solutions that support Ontarians. And I would just say, and that's the CUPE press statement on this matter, it is a dramatic development, and Green Jobs Oshawa really needs to be applauded for all the work they did. And I was impressed that Nikki Ashton and NDP, sort of an outlier in the party, as they're called, and then Dimitri Lascaris, who's the candidate for leader of the Green Party, both made it a point to be at the public actions taken by Green Jobs Oshawa. That's the kind of leadership we need, and good for them. When we're glad to be mentioning it on the Taylor Report. Now to get to the other, return to our other big questions, the matter of cooperation. The United States, cooperation, mutual respect, in order to defeat coronavirus and also to maintain peace, to achieve peace in the world. This is a moment we have to keep coming back to, have to keep coming back to this point. This is a moment where we have to understand and respect all the nations and states in the world. That's why we have the United Nations, and that's why we have the World Health Organization, which is a product of the United Nations. But there is a gathering storm led by the America Firsters and their vassals. I say vassals. The Five Eyes group, the Anglos, who are a mutual spying operation, intelligence operation. They're all white and they all speak English. And they are determined now. They are very worried by developments in the world, because the world, most of the nations of the world get it, as the expression is. They get it. We have to cooperate. But Trump, who perfectly symbolizes it all, he says it has to be a world led by the United States. And Canada, frankly, agrees. They're not going to argue with him. They're going to, waver a bit. But they're going to go along. And so is, of course, Australia, New Zealand, and Britain, the Five Eye Gang. Remember, Sarkozy and the French tried to join, and they told him no. And Sarkozy didn't speak English. At least he probably spoke with too much of an accent. Anyway, this is a very important fight. I just read an editorial from the Toronto Star demonizing China, lecturing China. And seriously, they think they're in the 19th century. They actually were talking, for example, about there's two matters, Hong Kong, where they say, well, Canada has an interest because there are 300,000 Canadians, people who have Canadian citizenship who are in Hong Kong. Well, Canada has a responsibility there. That's to remind Canadian citizens that they have to obey the laws of Hong Kong, and that they are, of course, under the sovereignty of China. That's what you have to do. That would be getting along. You can't be a colonialist and say, some of my people are there, so I'm going to come in there. Which leads me to Joe Biden. Joe Biden is now part of this operation. Liberals and conservatives here are agreeing that they're going to target China. And that's because around the world, China's status has been rising. Not because they're beating their chest and waving weapons, but because they flew to the assistance of any country wanted it. They shared their information with the World Health Organization. they did an excellent job of containing and breaking the chain of communication of the transmission, pardon me, of the coronavirus. So they were exemplary, and they warned the world in January. But now you have idiots, clowns. It's all from the Trump factory. And whatever, even though Trudeau's handsomer and Macron and Johnson, maintain their some degree of sovereignty, they're going to follow Trump. Trump's going to lead, and they're going to pick a fight with China. But the world is not going to join the fight. They do not agree with that because, for example, if you look at the African countries, they are very appreciative of the assistance they get from China. China doesn't come and rip them off and treat them with disrespect, as Western colonialists and imperialists have done. That's a fact. You'll hear people say otherwise, but it is a fact. And the idea of dividing the world behind Trump-led or Biden-led America is really going to turn out to be a minority position run by fools who could get us all, harm us all. China is not offering any hostility. They are offering cooperation. It's not them who has 800 bases around the world and warships in everybody's waters and bombing countries, Yemen, Syria, Libya, putting deadly sanctions on countries, Cuba, Venezuela. That is the United States. That's Joe Biden, Trump. And I don't care which name you put at the top of the list. The problem is, it's a notion of imperial hegemony, that U.S., Britain are somehow the masters of the world. This coronavirus is putting this in deadly relief, you might say. Most countries of the world have self-respect, and they're not going to take dictation from the U.S. Trump wants to attack the World Health Organization. Canada now is joining in that. It's doing it sidewise, but it's doing it. We should be powerfully, loudly defending the work of the World Health Organization, particularly of the Canadian doctors who participate in the World Health Organization. Instead, they're being thrown under the bus driven by Trump. This is an outrage. And this is where there has to be a line drawn. We have to support these international institutions, which are of benefit to countries around the world. You can argue whether a mistake is made by this country and that country. Okay, but that's what you do at the United Nations. It's a forum. It's where countries have fundamental legal status and respect. And to rip that up, which is what Trump is doing, followed by his vassals, including Canada, is a road down which we should not go. But we have political parties. In Parliament, they want to call Dr. Aylward. That's an oblique attack on the World Health Organization. So why is the NDP, which is calls itself the Social Democratic, that's the label, why are they joining in asking him to appear and even talking like they're going to subpoena him? What they're trying to get at is an attack on the World Health Organization. Take it up with the World Health Organization. Any Canadian professional who's working inside the World Health Organization does only occupy the position they hold. They're not spokespersons. But this game of saying, oh, well, he's a Canadian, we're going to force him to come here and say why he said nice things. That's basically what it is, nice things about China. The way everybody else in the world, Italy, Serbia, countries of Europe, and certainly the countries of Africa and South America have all said nice things about China. He said the same thing. Why? Because he is objective. He's being medically professional. So this pains the America Firsters and the vassals of America First. It's impossible that China should get respect when China isn't doing anything other than functioning as a sovereign country and not obeying diktat from the United States. China says they believe in the United Nations, and that's where they take their issues. And they, of course, are believers in the World Health Organization. And I'll quote you something from the Chinese Foreign Ministry. It's a nice summary. It says, this suspending funding for the World WHO, we've offered our response repeatedly, and we'd like to stress that the WHO members have a legally binding obligation to pay their assessed contributions. Thus, U.S. suspending meat funding is a fundamental violation of its membership duties, which it will definitely deliver a hard blow to the international antivirus cooperation and probably entail serious ramifications. It will affect all countries, including the U.S., particularly those with vulnerable health systems. The U.S. assumes that the WHO should do its bidding because it's the largest contributor. This is a typical hegemonic mentality. Anyway, that's the Chinese Foreign Ministry. Everybody should pay attention. If you're going to listen to Pompeo, at least show equal respect for the Chinese point of view, and then also try to take a Canadian point of view, which should not be a United States point of view. That should be kind of simple to understand. But at any rate, we have fools who are leading us who want to try to destroy international institutions. So I'm going to close with Bertolt Brecht saying, those who take the meat from the table teach contentment. Those who, for whom the taxes are destined, demand sacrifice. Those who eat their fill speak of the hungry, of the wonderful times to come. Those who lead the country into the abyss call ruling too difficult for ordinary people. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM.